Well, we're here to hear God's word tonight. I believe that next Sunday morning the baptismal tank will be heated up and ready to go if anybody would like to be baptized. Pastor Downs has asked me to make that announcement. Well, bless the Lord. Tonight I want to preach. It's more of a warning than anything. I was going to preach something sweet to you, and then all of a sudden I just felt God was speaking to me. So I always like to preach things that are well received. I'm not sure how well this will be received tonight, but I do believe that somebody is here to hear this. I believe it's prophetical. Otherwise, I wouldn't be preaching it. The title of my message is Not For Sale. Not For Sale. And if you'd like to open your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 21, we will read this together as an introduction from the Word of God. We'll read another scripture after that. But first of all, 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Let's stand. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And now to another familiar scripture in the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 1. You probably know this all off by heart anyway. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Not the Son of God, but the sons of God, that is, the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, but because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then without turning to it, let me read another scripture out of the Epistle of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You may be seated. Before I get to talk about the story of Naboth, I'd like to look at another story in the Bible, the story of Esau and Jacob. That is not a very nice story, as every one of you know. Esau and Jacob were twins, but Esau was born first. And in those times, in biblical times, Old Testament times, there was a certain blessing for the firstborn. Number one, they received twice the inheritance of everyone else. But anyway, what is this birthright? Today we call it an inheritance, but back then it was a little bit more than an ordinary inheritance. God made a covenant with Abraham, and that covenant was passed down through the eldest in every family. And that birthright not only included money and land and herds, but in the case of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, it also involved having the privilege of being in his lineage. Now, we know that, just changing the subject again, Abraham, the firstborn to Abraham, was Ishmael. But yet, the birthright did not pass to Ishmael. That's because Ishmael's mother was a bondwoman, and Isaac was born of Sarah, the free woman. And so in that particular case, the birthright came through Isaac. A birthright was very, very important. And the father would spend a lot of time explaining the responsibilities to the eldest son. He would become, as it were, the priest to the family. He would lead the family in spiritual things. Also, he was the spiritual head who made many, many important decisions in the family. However, if we know this story, we know that Esau sold his birthright. Don't ask me how he ever thought of doing that. But the Bible teaches that he had no respect for that birthright. I wonder where he was when Daddy was talking about the birthright. I wonder where he was when Granddad Abraham was talking about the birthright. Obviously not listening. He didn't appreciate it. He sold that birthright. So what was the difference between Esau and Jacob? We can only say that one was spiritually minded and one was carnally minded. One of them was indifferent to the things of God, whereas the other one desired the things of God. Now, when we read this story, it does upset us with the determination and the enthusiasm with which Jacob sought after the birthright. I don't know about you, it disturbs me when I read it, but he was determined, or probably said to himself, how much he would really like that birthright, but his brother got it. His brother came out just before he did, and so his brother got it. But Jacob was obviously listening to what his father was saying and what his grandfather was telling him. And I imagine when they were talking about this birthright, Jacob was saying, why didn't I get it? I just missed out on it. And so he looked for an opportunity to get favour with God, to find favour with God and to get this birthright. And all the things that went with it. I suppose we could say he craved for the privilege of this birthright. But anyway, it turned out that Esau, while he was looking at the beans, Jacob was looking at the birthright. Because Esau came in from hunting and he walked into the house, and it just so happened that Jacob was cooking up some beans. Cooking up a bit of a stew, must have smelt pretty nice. And so then Esau said, give me some of that red pottage, which was lentils, beans. He said, so that I can live and not die. I don't really think he was about to die. He probably was pretty tired, but not about to die. He said, I'm about to the point of death. I don't think so. But this is all exaggeration on his behalf. Well, all of a sudden, the light switched on with Jacob. He thought, ha-ha, it's worth a try. I want his birthright. And so he said, all right, I'll give you some of this soup if you sell me your birthright. If you forsake your birthright and give it to me, I'll give you the soup. And the most unbelievable thing here is that he gave him his birthright. Esau said, okay, you can have it. Now, I don't know whether you would hand over your family rights to somebody else just because they offered you something. I mean, even if you were left an inheritance of $100,000, would you really consider Would you really consider insulting the fact that your mother or your father had left you a birthright, an inheritance? I don't think so. We'd be thinking quite deeply about it anyway. But Esau doesn't seem to have thought much about it. Okay, I'm hungry. You can have my birthright. I'll have what you've got there on the stove. Well, it's a pity in this society we are today, because it seems like we're selling that which is precious for our children, an inheritance for our children, a godly inheritance, because God exalts a righteous nation. It's a pity that this is happening right under our eyes. Let's not have it happen in our families. But today people are selling their birthright with God for instant gratification. You see, when you become a child of God, the Bible refers to us as sons of God, that is with a small s, then when we become a child of God, then the inheritance of God belongs to us. He has left us an inheritance. Not only redemption and forgiveness of sins, but life eternal. It's a privilege to be in a family. In a family, you know you're going to be looked after, correct? You know that you're going to have the care and love of a parent. You know that in the future, when your parents pass away, possibly they will leave you something, maybe even a gesture of something. But this is all the privilege of being in a family. But today, people are selling, even church people are selling their birthright for instant gratification. They don't treasure who God is and what he is. They sort of play with him and make his promises a trifle. They're indifferent to God's word. Let's never come to the house of God, obviously, like Esau did. When he heard what his father was saying and what his grandfather was saying, it went in one ear and out the other, because he never had an appreciation for the tremendous privilege that had been bestowed upon him. When he gave away his birthright, with it went the headship of the family, the priesthood of the family, the covenants that were given to him, given to his father, from his grandfather Abraham, all sold out. The Bible says he despised his birthright. Let me read it. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it talks about Esau. We are exhorted to follow peace with all men. All right, this is the lead up. This is all linked with Esau. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Of course, that word there is to be separated, sanctified. Be separate, be sanctified. It says, without which no man shall see the Lord. So it's given us two things. Seek peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This is pretty important. I want to see the Lord. Do you? Amen. When he appears with all of his all of his glory, you want to go up to meet him? You want to be with him? Then it says in verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, when there is bitterness, other people are affected. Then it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane, that is, showing great disrespect to another person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Listen to it. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now we would think that when somebody tried to reverse everything, by being sorrowful and with tears that everything could be reversed. But this could not be reversed. It could not be reversed, and it was not reversed. Yes, God does honour repentance. He does honour tears in time. But the warning tonight is there is such a time when time runs out. You can wait too long. You can procrastinate. You can live and dwell in your separation from God far too long. And God said, "My spirit will not always strive." Just going back to Esau again, he tried to get it back. He desperately wanted it back, but it was too late. Apart from Esau, we have some other illustrations in the Bible. If we go to the New Testament, we read about Judas. He was one of them. He walked with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He saw the dead raised. He saw the multitudes that were fed. He saw the blind eyes open and the deaf heard. But yet, he still betrayed Jesus. I mean, even for us sitting here tonight, this boggles our mind. How could Esau ever do such a thing? Just for a bowl of soup? We probably wouldn't believe it if it wasn't the fact that's in the Bible. And why would Judas be led astray to the point that he would deny the one that he knew was a miracle worker and the one who showed him so much love? Judas was just like Esau. He sold out. That's why, brothers and sisters, as we sit here tonight, and in the book of Revelations, it reminds us time and time again, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says." What this is saying, make sure that we are in tune with what the Spirit of God is saying. But not only hear it, but hear it in our hearts and love it and not deny it. Hold on to it. Watch out for your Esau minute. Watch out for your Judas temptation. Because the devil would have you sell it all. Yes, there is such a thing as going beyond the mercy of God when God cannot deal with you anymore. He is a merciful God. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is willing to do that, but if we despise it, how can He? And so it will come to a time when maybe we will seek Him like Esau and we will not be able to find that place in God again. We read of another man in the Bible whose name was blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, it was in the Lamb's Book of Life and then it was blotted out. His name was Demas. Paul speaks of him and says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Again, Demas is just like Esau. He sold out on the blessings of God. And so the Hebrews had this wonderful birthright. Even if they weren't in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, that birthright was there for the eldest son. Somebody in the family they could look up to. Somebody who would lead the family with strength. And God's hand was upon the person who had the birthright. And so, Christians today, we have a birthright too. I've read it in the scripture. Now are you the sons of God. Now! There's the Old Testament and there's a New Testament. You ever heard about a will? Well, the New Testament is God's will and testament for us today. It's written for a reminder of the inheritance that we will receive. Under this New Testament inheritance, we receive, as I said, redemption, justification, sanctification. We have joy unspeakable in our hearts while we serve God. Yet people backslide. They walk away from God. Maybe they're even out there saying, well, sure, I know there's a God, but I want to do my own thing. What a tremendous pity. Because it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of allowing your salvation to slip through your fingers. God is always ready to help. He's always graceful. And when we become a Christian, he gives us his spirit and he gives us strength to follow him. And so Esau sold out. And so did Judas sell out. And Demas sold out. They all sold out. But thank God for a story in the Bible where a man didn't sell out. And of course, there are many others. And Jesus didn't sell out either. Did you hear what I said? Jesus didn't sell out either. He was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not sell out. And so Naboth, we read in the first book of Kings, owned a vineyard. And it was near the king's palace. Ahab, man, oh man, this guy was a bad guy. Anything we read about Ahab in the Bible makes my hair stand on end, because this guy stretched God to the limit. You talk about him, man, you want to talk about his wife. They were a wicked pair, the both of them. Anyway, Naboth is there and he's got a vineyard right up against the king's palace. And he says, I'll give you some money. I'll give you a better vineyard. You can have a better vineyard or you can have money. But I want your garden for a garden of herbs for myself. Well, Naboth said to Abraham, it's not for sale. This is an inheritance that I received from my father. I will not sell it, even to the king. I don't believe he was probably as insulting as I was, because believe you me, Ahab had a reputation. And anybody stand up against Ahab, they better watch out what they're doing. Because behind Ahab was a very wicked woman, as we'll see in a minute. He said, it's not for sale. So what did Ahab do? He turned around, went home, climbed into bed, and turned his face to the wall and sulked. Doesn't sound like a man to me, does it? He went there, the Bible says, and Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased, because of the word of Naboth, the Jezreelite, had spoken unto him. For he said, I will not give the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his feast and would not eat any bread. Go away. I'm sulking. Then, of course, his wife comes in, tells us in verse 5, Jezebel, his wife, came in and said, why are you so sad? And why aren't you eating? Let me just tell you a little thing about Jezebel. I don't think there's anything good in the Bible about Jezebel. In fact, I hope there's nobody here called Jezebel tonight. Jezebel was a very ungodly woman. She worshipped idols. She killed the prophets. She threatened the man of God. She threatened him. She didn't really realize what she was biting off when she threatened Elijah. And then when Jehu came on a mission from God, she tried to seduce the man of God. It says, she painted her face and tied up her hair and looked out the window. In other words, here I am, Jehu. Well, Jehu had some words for her. He then proceeded to tell her what the prophet Elijah had said, that the dogs would eat her. She thought she was safe. Jehu yelled out to the servants that were in the window, "Throw her down!" And they threw her down. Oh, very loyal people. And the Bible records that she was eaten. I'm sorry to say that, but that's what the Bible says. She tried to seduce the man of God. Anyway, let's finish the story. Before all that had happened, though, Jezebel said to him, that's Ahab, her husband, "Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thy heart be merry. Go out and get him." No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. She didn't tell Ahab to go out and get him. She said, "I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. I will give it to you." This is the deception of this woman. I'm just showing you what Naboth is facing, okay? And so she wrote a letter and sealed it. Sealed it with her, wrote it in her husband's name, sealed it with her husband's seals. And she wrote the letter saying, "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on a high among the people." In other words, let's praise him up. Let's lift him up. "And set two men, sons of Belial," that is sons of the devil, "before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him." That was her instructions. So here's people arrive at Naboth's place. Well, the king and the queen want to honour you. So let us take you and put you in a high place. And there they placed him and then they framed him. They said, of course lying, that he had said blasphemous things against God and the king. And they took him out. They took him out and stoned that innocent man. You see, Jezebel was the real brains behind this operation. Well, I can only sum this up by saying that Naboth was a faithful man. Naboth was a faithful man. Not for sale. Do we have principles in our life? More than just our standards, do we have biblical principles in our life which we say are not for sale? They may not be vineyards, but every one of us have things in our life that are very, very precious. Unfortunately, our nation is selling out on some of these very precious things regarding the family that God has given unto us. Make sure your children are taught otherwise. In the Bible, Jezebel is a type of devil. She's like the devil. And Ahab, the same. And they're trying to make us give up our vineyards. Trying to cause us to give up our inheritance. The fact that we are called the sons of God. I mean, there's nothing more precious than to know that we are the children of God. I mean, it doesn't look that way. I've said many times, if people knew that we were the sons of God, there'd be thousands of people out there tonight just waiting to say hello as we walk in. But I didn't see anybody there. That's because the Bible says it doth not yet appear that way. But it says when he returns, when Jesus returns, and we shine like the glory of God, then it will become obvious who we are. Don't sell out to the devil. Don't sell your birthright. People will try to get you to sell out. I don't know about you, but when I was in school and when I was in university, I was trying desperately to be a good Christian, but was continually hounded about my stand and my principles. Sadly, when I was working in research, every month we used to have a luncheon, and we would talk about the work that we were doing in research in the chemical laboratory. And unfortunately, my boss used to take us to a pub, at which I objected against, and he said, well, it will be in the back room. Don't worry, it's going to be in the back room. So at least he respected that, and he had this meeting of about eight of us in the back room. And they know very, very well that back in then, I don't drink it now, I used to drink Coca-Cola back then, they would always bring me a Coca-Cola. And then on one occasion, one day, they delivered the Coca-Cola. And somehow I read their face. I saw them put the Coca-Cola down, then they all looked at each other. And I thought, that's not Coca-Cola. Well, it bubbled like Coca-Cola and it looked like Coca-Cola, but I tell you right now, I just said, you put something in this and I'm not going to drink it. And they all roared laughing. They didn't make me drink it. They just wanted me to take a sip. Of course, they knew I wouldn't drink the rest. Friends, we need to stand up. Now, I mean, that's fairly minor. And I know some of you come under greater pressure than that. But Satan is in this for us to give up our birthright, to forsake the very precious things that God has given us, to forsake our church. Amen? Yes. Why do you need to go to church, they say. I remember one day sitting in the staff room. All of my co-teachers knew that when I was a school teacher, they knew that I was a Christian. And we had a new teacher came in one day and he sat down and he was going to be working with me. So over lunch, he thought he would make conversation. He said, well, John, what did you do on the weekend? I said, I went to church in the morning. Oh, sorry, I went to church. Oh, so you went to church in the morning. He said, what did you do in the afternoon? I said, I went to church. Oh, really? What did you do in the evening then? I said, I went to church. And everybody else is sitting there saying, don't ask any more questions. Yeah, they were the days we went to church three times during the daytime. Because I knew that I had a spiritual inheritance. I'm not saying I haven't been tempted. I'm not saying that I haven't failed at times. But I'm telling you that the devil would have us forsake that which God has given us and the promises that he's given us. We're tempted to compromise. Compromise in a Christian is the start of selling your birthright. God has given us a spiritual inheritance. He's brought us into kinship with Jesus and adopted us into his family. We have all the rights that God has given us in the Bible. I'm not for sale. I'm not even willing to go and be bidded for. What about you? Are you going to put yourself in the tempting situation where you're going to allow a bid on your inheritance? I'm not for sale. Say it. I'm not for sale. I am not for sale. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to be faithful to the end. I want to be faithful to God because He has always been faithful to me. True? Has He ever been unfaithful to you? Would you say, well, He hasn't exactly protected me at all times? And sometimes we deserve to be chastened, don't we? The Bible says, and God chastens us like a father. When we get chastened by our parents, 99.9% of the time it's for our good. Correct? Listen, young people, when your parents correct you, it's for your good. He says if we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. I want to be faithful. If I give Him my best, He's promised we will receive His best. I want to be rooted in the church. I want to be rooted in the truth. I want to love the truth. Because if I love the truth, I won't stray away. If I compromise the truth, then that's the start of it. What about Moses? The Bible speaks about Moses, who was spent his life being raised in Egypt. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why? Because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Well, unfortunately, we don't get paid off all the benefits in one lump sum. We do receive sprinklings of the benefits, and when we are faithful, even more of the benefits. But when we pass out of this world, we get full payment because we shall be with Him. Many people forsake the Lord for the carnal pleasures of this world, like Esau did, just for a lustful whim. Hold on to God. Do what He says, because what you have in Jesus Christ is more precious than silver or gold. It's even sinful to think that we will allow people to put a bid upon us, or even think in our mind that maybe I'll go away from God for a period of time, because Jesus never has left us or forsaken us. You see, when you're baptized in Jesus' name, you take His name. Your sins are forgiven. He fills you with His Holy Spirit, not a Holy Spirit. He fills you with His Spirit. You become a child of God. You have your inheritance in Jesus. He purchased your inheritance with His death upon the cross. He sealed it with His death. Some have sold their vineyards to worldly friends. Some have sold their vineyards for popularity, some for money, some for lust. Some are in the process of compromise. Remember, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Abraham said, I want your vineyard. Ahab said, I want your vineyard. Naboth said, it's not for sale. Have I made my point? Let me read about the one who purchased your salvation. He didn't sell up. He purchased us with His death upon the cross. it says in Hebrews, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, this is speaking about Jesus in the garden, and was heard that he feared. Oh, have you ever noticed that before? When Jesus was in the garden, about to be killed upon the cross, he did pray, if it be possible, this was his flesh praying, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Then he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So did he just, well, this is like water on a duck's back. No, it wasn't. The Bible says he feared. He was a man. He suffered as a man, just like you would suffer if you were going to go and hang upon the cross. He had to be a man. He had to suffer for us so he could be the perfect sacrifice. Then it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. Of course, what I've preached tonight was not tickling your ears. I had a bit of a squirm when I prepared this message myself. It's meant to be a challenge, because I want you to leave here and have this fused in your mind for the rest of your life. I am not up for sale. I am not up for sale for money. I'm not up for sale for beautiful women or beautiful, handsome men. I'm not up for sale for a high bidder. I am clear as this. I am just not up for sale. I am owned by Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But as I said earlier on tonight, usually when I preach these sort of messages, somebody is in the congregation, because I honestly didn't want to preach this message. I had another good one, but the Lord said, no, this one. So if he told me that, sister, then obviously God wants to speak to somebody. You don't just stand up here right now and say, I'm the person. I don't know whether anybody would like to do that. But you can tell God right now that you're the person. Right now you can say, yes, I've been letting others do my bidding. They've been bidding on me. I've felt the pressures and I've allowed them to bid. I've allowed them to coerce me. I've allowed them to woo me. I've even got to the point where I've walked away from the things of God and compromised. Then you need to make it straight with God, because this message tonight was just for you. Now, I understand that every single person here, because we are also flesh, suffer temptations. So to some degree, this message is for everybody, because we all know that we could be in a better place with God. That's the thing about the Christian life. You've never made it until you step through the gates of heaven. And in the process, we're just perfecting. That's what holiness is, perfecting ourselves, separating ourselves unto God. But beware of a deliberate act. You know the Bible talks about the unforgivable sin. And the unforgivable sin has something to do with what I talked about tonight. That is going so far, like Esau did, when he tried to repent, he could find no repentance. Let's stand up right now in our seats. Just the musicians would just like to come. I can only leave it over to you. Whether you find a place at this altar tonight to surrender to God, and I don't believe everybody will come out here as a wicked person. I don't believe that at all. It's good that we're tender-hearted and ready to respond to God and submit to Him. That's good. But let God have His way in your life tonight. And please, when you leave here, put it inside your wardrobe, put it on the mirror in your bathroom, put it in the motor car. I am not up for sale. And just in case somebody might misinterpret that, you can put, Naboth said, I am not up for sale, okay? Don't want to give people the wrong impression. Put it up somewhere. Remind yourself of it every day. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's just sing together.